If you have just tuned in, you are now listening to Worth Baptist Hour, a weekly broadcast of the gospel. This radio ministry is produced by Worth Baptist Church, and this is the pastor speaking. We want to take this opportunity on the very first Sunday of 1973 to wish to all of our listeners the very best that God has for you in the coming year. As we closed out 1972, we rejoiced in the blessings of God upon Worth Baptist Hour and upon Worth Baptist Church during the days of the year just closed. God has indeed been good and gracious to us. We rejoice because we know that the gospel of Jesus Christ is being preached and heralded not only on this station, but by the messengers of Christ and the preachers of the gospel all over the world. Surely 1973 has a great deal in store for Bible-believing Christians everywhere. Right in your own home today, as the first Sunday of 1973 begins, why not be resolved in your heart that you'll make this the very best year in your Christian life? Where you attend church and where you serve the Lord, the church to which you belong certainly deserves your best in 1973. God has given you another opportunity to serve Him. I trust that it'll be the best year in your church and in your home and in your business and in your life. We here at Worth Baptist Church extend to you and to your family a very cordial invitation to begin the new year in the proper way by being in Sunday school this morning at 10 o'clock, in the morning worship hour at 11, and the Sunday evening worship hour at 7. The Sunday school of Worth Baptist Church is thoroughly organized. It's carefully supervised. We have a class for every member of your family, for every age and every grade level. Our textbook in the Sunday school of Worth Baptist Church is the Bible only. We are now surveying the entire Bible a book a week. Today, our lesson will be a survey of the book of 2 Timothy. I can think of no better way than for you to start 1973 than to be in the house of God, fellowshipping with God's people, studying the Bible, and worshiping the Lord Jesus Christ. So we invite you to come today to our Sunday school, and then our Sunday morning worship service at 11 is designed to meet your spiritual needs. And we would be happy to have you come today and hear the message from the Word of God in the Sunday morning worship hour. And then the Sunday evening worship hour, which begins at 7 p.m. Beginning this evening, I will start a new series of messages entitled, It's in the Book. These messages will deal with vital issues that face us in the 20th century. I wonder today in your own life, are there not perplexing questions and problems that you cannot understand? I would assure you that the Bible has the answer. I trust that you'd come tonight because my message in the very first of this series will be entitled, The Bible and Inspiration. Can we trust the Word of God? Is it inspired? Is it just another book? Is it like the Book of Mormons or the Book of Mohammed or the book of one of the other religions of the world? Or is the Bible the inspired, infallible Word of God? We'll see the answer to these questions in the very first message in the series entitled, It's in the Book. Again, the topic of my message this evening, The Bible and Inspiration. In the coming weeks, we'll be treating a number of special issues like the charismatic movement, the modern tongues movement. The Bible gives us the answer to all of these things. So I hope that you'll be in the very first of these special messages under the heading, It's in the Book. That's tonight at 7 o'clock at Worth Baptist Church. Worth Baptist Church is located at 3309 Wilbarger Street in Fort Worth. We are easily accessible from all parts of the city of Fort Worth and of Tarrant County by the Pauley Freeway, that's Highway 287 South, and by Loop 820. It would be our joy for you to begin the new year with us in Bible study, in fellowship, and in worship today at Worth Baptist Church. And I trust that the coming days of 1973 will find you busily engaged, involved in the work of Christ, as we have new opportunities and new privileges of serving the Lord. Remember, we would be happy for you to start the new year in Worth Baptist Church today. We believe the Bible. We're an old-fashioned group of Bible believers. We are Baptist. We make no apologies for it. We love God. We preach the Word. And we have at Worth Baptist Church a well-rounded program of the gospel to meet the needs of your family. So come today to Worth Baptist Church, 3309 Wilbarger Street in Fort Worth. And in the beginning of the new year, we would like to hear from you by mail. Remember, our mailing address is Worth Baptist Hour, Post Office Box 15141, Fort Worth, Texas. It would be our joy to hear from you this week. As we look further into 1973, we anticipate the first Sunday of March being the most outstanding day in our history. On Sunday, March 4th, we will celebrate our 19th anniversary. Looking back over these many years, how we do rejoice in the blessings of God. And we're looking forward to great things in the days ahead. So we'd like for you to mark that date right now on your calendar. Visit Worth Baptist Church sometime between now and then, but particularly would we invite you to be with us on Anniversary Day, that Sunday, March 4th, 1973, the 19th anniversary of Worth Baptist Church. Make your plans now to attend on this special day. And now to my message on today's broadcast entitled, God's Golden Guarantee of Grace. I shall read from the book of Titus, chapter 2, verses 11 through 15. But before we read the scripture, I would like to have you pause with me in a moment of prayer. Let us pray. Our Heavenly Father, how grateful we are today for this beginning of a new year. For 1973, we trust that this would be a year of opportunity, a year of rejoicing, a year of blessing, a year of soul winning, not only here at Worth Baptist and through the facilities of Worth Baptist Hour, but around the world, wherever Christ is proclaimed, wherever the Bible is preached, wherever men gather in the name of the Lord Jesus. We pray that this year will be the greatest of all. May our nation and our city and our community and our churches experience a revival this year that would draw us close to Thee, a revival that would turn our nation back to God. Heavenly Father, we pray for such a meeting, for such a blessing, for such a revolution spiritually, for such a revival in the days of 1973 as we anticipate the return of our Lord Jesus Christ. Bless this broadcast, and bless this message, and bless everyone who listens today, and may their hearts be lifted up and strengthened in the faith as they hear this message from the Word of God. This is our prayer, and these are our petitions, and we ask them all in the name of Jesus Christ, Thy Son and our Savior, and for His sake, and with thanksgiving. Amen. And now in the book of Titus, chapter 2, verse 11. For the grace of God that bringeth salvation hath appeared to all men, teaching us that denying ungodliness and worldly lust, we should live soberly, righteously, and godly in this present world, looking for that blessed hope and the glorious appearing of the great God and our Savior, Jesus Christ, who gave himself for us, that he might redeem us from all iniquity, and purify unto himself a peculiar people, zealous of good works. This is my message today, God's golden guarantee of grace. Someone asked the little boy, "What is grace?" And his reply was this, "Grace is something for nothing." A new convert who had been saved from a desecrated life of sin and shame was asked the same question, "What is grace?" And he answered this way, "God picked me up out of the middle of nothing and set me down in the middle of everything. And that's grace." And beloved, that is grace. That is the grace of God. No wonder we sing, "Amazing grace, how sweet the sound that saved a wretch like me. I once was lost, but now I'm found. I once was blind, but now I see." Both of these answers were coming close theologically to the definition of the word grace, if indeed that word can be defined. We might say theologically that grace is the unmerited favor of God. I trust that we can explore some of the marvels of this unmerited favor, this grace, as we consider the subject, God's golden guarantee of grace. First of all, God's grace guarantees us salvation for our souls. Remember what Paul said? "The grace of God that bringeth salvation." Only by the grace of God does man have a plan of salvation today. Man is by nature a sinner. Man is lost. Man is destitute. Man is helpless. Man is condemned. The Bible says, "All we like sheep have gone astray. We have turned everyone to his own way. And the Lord hath laid on us the iniquity of us all." The Bible says, "There is not a just man upon the earth who doeth good and sinneth not." The Bible says that all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. Going further, the Word of God declares, "The soul that sinneth, it shall die. The wages of sin is death. But thanks be unto God, the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord." The greatest need that man has today is not a financial security. It's not social security or economic security or military security. The greatest need that man outside Christ has today is salvation. The Bible declares that salvation is of the Lord. Salvation is a gift. Indeed, salvation comes by the grace of God, the unmerited favor of God to every member of Adam's race. One might ask, where can man find salvation? Can salvation be found in Wall Street with all of its money and with all of its wealth? The answer is no, for he is poor who has not the riches of God's grace. Can salvation be found in the classroom of the universities? Again, the answer is no. The Bible declares that the beginning of knowledge is the fear of the Lord. Can salvation be found in industry? Again, the answer comes back, no. Salvation is not manufactured. Salvation is not made. Salvation is not concocted or put together by man's ingenuity. Salvation is manifest by the grace of God and His grace alone. It is indeed futile for man to search for salvation except by God's grace. Listen to this from Ephesians chapter 2, verses 8 and 9. "For by grace are ye saved through faith, and that not of yourselves. It is the gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast." Jesus said, "I am the way, the truth, and the life, and no man cometh unto me, unto the Father, except by me." You see, Jesus Christ is not just one way. Jesus Christ is the only way. Furthermore, Jesus said, "I am the door, and no man entereth except by me." Peter said, "Neither is there salvation in any other, For there's none other name under heaven given among men whereby we must be saved. I would say to you today, if ever you are saved, if ever you go to heaven, if ever you are right with God, you must come by the way of Christ, which is the way of the cross. The Bible tells us that Jesus Christ died on the cross to save us from our sins. His way is the only way. The poet put it this way, "In vain we search for peace with God by methods of our own. Dear Jesus, nothing but thy blood can bring us near thy throne." Yes, God's grace guarantees us salvation for our soul. Would you know that grace today? If you would know that grace, you must look at God's gift, Jesus Christ dying on the cross for you. You can be guaranteed that salvation this moment by faith in the Lord Jesus Christ as you accept His gift of eternal life by the grace of God to you. In the second place, God's grace guarantees us instruction for our daily living. Again, Paul says that the grace of God that hath appeared unto us teaches us to deny ungodliness, to deny worldly lusts, to live soberly, righteously, godly in this present world. In other words, the Bible, by the grace of God, through the illumination and instruction of the Holy Spirit, teaches us how to live. God's grace provides our great instructor, the Holy Spirit. There are valuable lessons that we can learn from God's grace. We must learn first to deny ungodliness. In the life of the believer, in the life of the Christian, there is no place for ungodliness. We must, in the second place, deny worldly lusts. The Bible tells us that that which is not of God and not of Christ, that which is of the flesh, is lustful and unclean. We must furthermore live soberly, that is, with a rational mind, with sincere ambitions and motives. We must live righteously. There aren't but two ways to live. One is right and the other is wrong. God's way is the right way. The Bible way is the right way. And only as we have the grace of God manifest to us can we learn how to live. We can learn to live godly in this present world as we pattern our lives after God's will. You see, your life as a Christian is an open book. The only Bible that the unsaved man can read is your life as a child of God. I believe today that the world deserves, and indeed the world demands, something of you as a Christian. Jesus said, "Ye are the light of the world." Jesus said, "Let your light so shine before men that they might see your good works and glorify your Father who is in heaven." Jesus went on to say, "Ye are the salt of the earth." You see, as a Christian, as a Bible believer, as a born-again one, you are an example to those about you. And the grace of God is now ready to teach you, to instruct you how to live in this present world. The world in which we live is no friend to grace. This world system is anti-God. It is anti-Christ. It is anti-Bible. No wonder John admonishes us to love not the world, neither the things that are in the world. For if any man love the world, the love of the Father is not in him. You see, in this world system, there is a power at work that is against God. Satan is the god of this present world system. He is the prince of the power of the air. Satan is on his last round, as it were. Satan is gathering his forces to fight against God. And beloved, the believer is caught up in the middle. We must learn today to take our stand for Christ. I believe as never before, in 1973, every born-again believer should stand up for Christ. I believe we should testify and witness and share Christ with others. That's what it's all about. Jesus said, "Go ye into all the world and preach the gospel." And I believe today that it is incumbent upon us as believers to share Christ with unbelievers. This entire world system is headed for a great fall, a climactic defeat, when the Lord Jesus Christ comes again. So as we live out the days of our lives by the grace of God, and only by God's grace, can we live a life that is pleasing to God. Yes, God's grace guarantees us instructions on how to live. And I believe if you would just face up to the reality and the truth of the matter today, you would admit that the grace of God is instructing you to put Christ first in your life, to put the Bible and the church first in your life in 1973. Then finally, in the third place, God's grace guarantees us a blessed hope for our future. The world is characterized by sin, sensuality, suffering, and sorrow. There are heartaches, problems, trials, burdens, reverses, crises, persecutions. All of these things characterize the world today. The Christian truly cannot feel at home in a world like this. The Christian is not looking for the things of this world. Paul says, "We look not at the things which are seen, but at the things which are not seen. For the things which are seen are temporal, but the things which are not seen are eternal." The heart of the believer, the true child of God, yearns for something better. The very innermost soul of the child of God cries out for a brighter day, for a better world, for a hope that is beyond anything that we see in this present world system. What is our hope anyhow? Is our hope to be found in the stock market? No. In tax cuts? No. In the economy? No. In a balanced budget? No. In politics? No. In government? No. In education? No. In military might? No. In scientific know-how? No. Our hope is beyond and above all this. Our hope as believers, as Christians, our only hope is the coming of the Lord Jesus Christ. And beloved, all the prophecies of the Scripture point to His soon return. Surely we are living in the last days. These are troublous times. These are times of distress and heartache and sorrow and tragedy and loss and grief. But beloved, we can look beyond these to the ray of hope. In the Word of God, we are told that Jesus Christ is coming again. In John 14, Jesus said, "Let not your heart be troubled. Ye believe in God, believe also in me. In my Father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you. I go to prepare a place for you. And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive you unto myself, that where I am, there ye may be also." We read in Hebrews 9:28, "Unto them that look for him shall he appear the second time without a sin offering unto salvation." Who are you looking for today? Are you looking for the coming of the Lord Jesus? Paul admonishes us to look for the blessed hope and the glorious appearing of our great God and Savior, Jesus Christ. Our hope today then is in the coming of the Lord Jesus Christ. The grace of God is our golden guarantee that one day Jesus Christ will come. And we believe that 1973 just might be the year of His appearing. Jesus Christ may come today. He might come tomorrow. He might come in a year. We don't know how long it's going to be, but we believe the coming of Christ is imminent. We can expect His coming at any moment. The Bible does not tell us to look for Antichrist. The Bible does not tell us to look for the tribulation period. The Bible tells us to look for Christ. And beloved, I say to you, look up. Jesus Christ is coming. And God's grace guarantees us our hope for the future. Has God's grace brought salvation to your soul? Are you living according to the teaching of God's Word by God's grace? Do you live in anticipation of the coming of Christ? If not, I trust today, the first Sunday of 1973, would be a new beginning in your heart and in your life. Right this moment, right by the radio, you can simply bow your head, pray the sinner's prayer, "God be merciful to me, a sinner." And you know, God will save you right this moment. If you're a Christian and your life is not counting for Christ, in 1972, mark many wasted days, you're facing a new year. 1973 has already begun. Why not be resolved to make it a better year in your Christian life? If you're out of touch with God, why not just bow your head now and pray and ask God to forgive you of your sins and to restore unto you the joy of the salvation that you once knew? And then you can do something further about it today. You can come to Worth Baptist Church. You can anchor your faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. You can make a new start for Christ and for the church even today. And I trust that you will. And may God bless you as you do. And so until next Lord's Day at this same time, we wish you well and the blessings of God upon your home, upon your family, and upon your life. And as always, we admonish you to keep on praying.